From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to continue 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. United Nations Day commemoration, momentum to strengthen multilateralism and collaboration. Indonesian Tourism Minister Sandi Uno appreciates the selection of Panglipuran Tourism Village as the best tourism village. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. In commemoration of the United Nations Day, the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in collaboration with the United Nations in Indonesia held a commemoration of UN Day on Tuesday in Jakarta. According to Acting Director General of Multilateral Cooperation at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Tri Purnajaya, in his remarks, taking the theme Our Common Future, Peace and Prosperity for All, the commemoration of UN Day 2023 emphasizes the importance of strengthening the spirit of multilateralism and collaboration. According to Purnajaya, this is aimed at realizing peace and shared prosperity, not only for the current generation, but also for future generation.
Tahun 2023 ini memiliki arti penting karena kita berada di separuh jalan menuju target pencapaian.
2023 has an important meaning because Indonesia is halfway towards the target of achieving the Sustainable Development Goals in 2030. However, Indonesia also notes that progress in achieving the SDGs is still far from what is expected. This year is also important because of discussions on preparations for the Summit of the Future in 2024, which is an important momentum to encourage reform of the United Nations and the multilateral system as a whole. Furthermore, according to Tri Purnajaya, UN Day, which is celebrated every October 24th, is also a momentum to reflect on the various achievements and challenges of the UN in the future. The commemoration of UN Day 2023 in Jakarta was celebrated with a number of talk shows featuring speakers from various circles who shared views on the UN, Indonesian diplomacy, intangible cultural heritage, and energy. The UN Day commemoration is also filled with exhibitions about job opportunities at the UN and other international organizations. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, expressed his appreciation for the selection of the Panglipuran Tourism Village in Bali as the best tourism village by the United Nations World Tourism Organization. The tourism village in Bangli Regency has been successfully selected among 260 candidates from more than 60 registered countries. This was said by Sandi Uno at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno on Monday in Jakarta. According to him, previously, no one considered that a tourism village could become a locomotive for the post-pandemic tourism revival. However, according to Sandy Uno, tourism villages that are based on local wisdom and involve the community are actually able to make the world consider them. Because through tourism villages, local champions have become world champions.
Desa wisata adalah bagian penting dari ekosistem yang tidak bisa dipandang sebelah mata.
Tourism awalnya, villages are important parts of the ecosystem that cannot be underestimated. At first, no one considered that tourism villages could become a locomotive for the revival of Indonesian tourism after the pandemic. It turns out that tourism villages show that tourism belongs not only to everyone, but also to the whole world, the quality and sustainable Indonesia. Tourism not only belongs to people who have money, but tourism also belongs to the community. Tourism villages based on local wisdom involve local communities and are able to make the world consider them. Through the tourism village, local champions are being born and are able to become world champions. Moreover, according to Minister Sandy Uno, there are three other tourism villages in Indonesia that are included in the UNWTO Best Tourism Villages Upgrade Program, namely Bilebante Village in West Nusa Tenggara, Pela Village in East Kalimantan, and Taro Village in Bali. Sandy Uno has also conveyed that three villages will receive training and partnership assistance, so the three tourism villages are expected to become the best tourism village in the coming year. Next, we have head of the United Nations representative in Indonesia, Valerie Julian, who conveyed that the UN was founded to uphold the creation of peace in the world. According to Valerie, the United Nations was founded 78 years ago, and it has the spirit to encourage dialogue in efforts to resolve problems. Valerie has also pointed out that all problems will be resolved if peace is realized and solidarity is created among nations.
If you put it the other way around, when there is war, no matter how much education, no matter how much development has been done, war destroys. It destroys people, it destroys nations, it destroys countries. So therefore, peace is really the essential mandate that we have and that we strive for.
Moreover, on that occasion, Valerie Julian also addressed the Israeli and Palestinian conflict. According to Valerie, the conflict is a reminder to the whole world of the importance of peace. According to Valerie, the current global conditions have experienced many developments that require the UN to participate in making changes according to the needs of the times. However, according to Valerie, peace must remain the main basis for every decision-making so that the struggle to achieve peace can continue. The last national news comes from Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, who stipulated that the investment stability in the tourism sector and creative economy remain well maintained amid the dynamics of Indonesian politics. This was conveyed by Minister Sandiaga at the weekly brief with Sandy Uno on Monday in Jakarta. Sandiaga invited all parties to invest and no need to worry because Indonesian politics is very mature and wise. According to him, the investment targets in the tourism sector are achieved and are not affected by political dynamics. As a matter of fact, politics has an attraction because it can be used as a tourism attraction and it can bring economic abundance to the people.
Jangan mereka berhenti, tapi mereka berkoordinasi supaya...
I invite them not to stop, but they must coordinate so that the event continues and the campaign activities can also be synchronized and each movement will bring economic abundance to the local people. Then there will also be printing of campaign props, t-shirts, music activities, other entertainment activities, arts and culture. The government hopes there will also be more opportunities for creative economy players. Furthermore, Minister Sandiaga said the Indonesian people are very harmonious and united in carrying out democratic contestation for a better Indonesia. He also hopes that this democratic contestation will run smoothly and in a friendly manner, so that after 14 February 2024, all elements of society can join together again to develop Indonesia. Now we move to the international news. China and the Philippines on Sunday accused each other of causing collisions in a disputed area of the South China Sea, the latest in a string of maritime confrontations between the two countries that have heightened regional tensions. As reported by CNN.com in a statement, Philippine authorities said a Chinese Coast Guard ship carried out dangerous blocking maneuvers that caused it to collide with a Philippine vessel carrying supplies to troops stationed in Ayungin Shoal, also known as Second Thomas Shoal, in the Spratly Islands chain. Qatar's ruling Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani said Israel should not be given a green light for unconditional killing. As reported by ArabNews.com, the remarks were made during his annual speech to open the Gulf Arab States Advisory Shura Council. Sheikh Tamim said the fighting between Israel and Hamas was a dangerous escalation that threatened the region and the world. We end the news with the Spanish authorities that have seized Chitian jewelry worth 60 million euro, or 52 million pounds sterling, they say was stolen from Ukraine. As quoted by BBC.com, the police said the 11 ancient gold pieces were smuggled out of Ukraine in 2016 to be resold in Spain. The bracelet, necklaces, and earrings from the 8th to 4th centuries before Christ had forged documents saying they belonged to the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. 5 arrests were made previously as part of an investigation into the 2021 sale of a gold belt with ram's head. Well, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is today's commentary on prospects for Indonesian halal products. I'm Dolot Pane. Muslim population in the world reaches almost 2 billion. Most of them are spread across Northern Africa, Western Asia, and Indonesia. According to data from the World Population Review in 2021, Indonesia is in first place with the largest Muslim population in the world. In total, there are around 231 million people in Indonesia who embrace Islam. As a country with the largest Muslim population, Indonesian halal products have enormous potential to be exported to countries with significant Muslim populations. This will create good international business opportunities. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita at the 2023 Indonesia Halal Industry Awards in Jakarta on Monday said, Indonesia has become a net exporter or world exporter of halal products and a source of new economic growth. Based on Indonesia Halal Markets Report 2021/2022 submitted by Bank Indonesia, in 2020, Indonesia exported halal products with a total value of $46.7 billion, which includes food, fashion, pharmaceuticals, and cosmetics globally. Meanwhile, imports of halal products in 2020 were worth $14.5 billion. Meanwhile, exports of Indonesian halal products to member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation (OIC) were recorded at reach $48.3 billion in 2021. And increased to $53.8 billion in 2022. The Indonesian government strongly supports the growth and development ecosystem of the national halal industry. This can be seen from various policies taken by the Ministry of Industry, for example, by including halal industrial empowerment as part of the national industrial policy, which is stipulated in the Presidential Regulation Number 74/2022. Concerning National Industrial Policy for 2020-2024. This policy is important to have Indonesia maintain its position as a global Sharia economic leader, which from year to year continues to show positive developments. Strong collaboration and synergy between stakeholders is needed to accelerate the growth of halal industrial products. The reason is that Indonesia aims to become the center of the world's halal industry. The government's efforts to promote and make Indonesia a net exporter or world exporter of halal products and a source of new economic growth would certainly be less optimal without efforts from halal products business players. Creativity and innovation are needed to create halal products that can attract the world market. In addition, community support as consumers of halal products is really needed. Indonesian people must be encouraged to use domestic halal products. With these various efforts, Indonesian halal products will have bright prospects for growth in the domestic and international markets. That was commentary.
We begin today in history with an event on October 24th when the United Nations was founded. The United Nations, or UN, was established on October 24, 1945 to encourage international cooperation. This international organization is a replacement for the League of Nations, which was established after the Second World War to prevent the outbreak of the Third World War. At the time of its establishment, the United Nations had 51 member countries, and currently there are 193 members. In addition to member countries, several international organizations and interstate organizations have a place as a permanent observers that have offices at United Nations headquarters, and some are only observers. Let's move on to the event on 1964 about the independence of Zambia. Zambia gained its full independence from Britain on October 24, 1964, after being occupied since 1888. Zambia is a country in Southern Africa that has no coastline and is directly bordered with the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Tanzania, Malawi, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, and Angola. Because it has been under English for a long time, Zambia has used English as the official language until now. We entered in history with the event on October 24th about National Doctors' Day. National Doctors' Day comes from the date of the founding of the Indonesian Doctors Association, ED. ED is a medical professional organization whose leaders and members are only Indonesian doctors. Initially, this organization was named Vereniging van Indische Artsen in 1911. After the independence of Indonesia on October 24, 1950, an association of doctors was officially established under the name of the Indonesian Doctors Association. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Tak terima, tak terima, tak terima. Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesian President receives presidential letters from 12 ambassadors of friendly countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received letters of credence from 12 extraordinary and plenipotentiary ambassadors of friendly countries. The handover of the credentials was carried out in the credentials room at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday, October the 23rd. The 12 ambassadors whom received by President Joko Widodo consisted of 9 full extraordinary ambassadors designate residents, namely from India, Brazil, Sweden, Britain and Northern Ireland, Argentina, Iran, Slovakia, Cyprus and the European Union. Meanwhile, the other 3 are the extraordinary and plenipotentiary ambassador designate non-resident who are domiciled in Tokyo, Japan, namely the ambassadors of Jamaica, Iceland, and Dominica. In the official YouTube account of the Presidential Secretariat, Indian Ambassador Sandeep Chakravorty said that Indonesia and India would celebrate the 75th anniversary of diplomatic relations in 2024. He explained that in carrying out his duties as Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, he would intensify relations between Indonesia and India and would strive for enhancing the connectivity between the two countries. In the sectors of tourism, new technologies, sustainable development, and electric vehicles. Meanwhile, Brazilian Ambassador Jorge Monteiro Prata explained that Brazil and Indonesia shared many similar interests in various fields, such as trade, investment, cooperation, security, food, sustainable agriculture, and environmental issues. According to him, Brazil and Indonesia play very important role as leaders in their respective regions. Cooperation in the food and energy sector is also the focus of Argentine Ambassador Gustavo Ricardo Coppa. Swiss Ambassador Daniel Brockert said he was at the right time because Indonesia is to hold general elections next year. According to him, Indonesia's democratic transition could be a benchmark that other countries could follow. Cooperation in the field of education is one of the priorities that will be strengthened by the Ambassador of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Dominic James Robert Jeremy.
Dan saya ingin memperkuat hubungan bilateral, khususnya di bidang perdagangan dan investasi bilateral.
I would like to strengthen bilateral relations in the field of trade, bilateral investment in the field of climate change. And I also know that Indonesia's human resources become President Joko Widodo's number one priority. For that reason, the priority of relations is related to education as well. And I really look forward to our next collaboration. I'm ready to collaborate with partners and friends from Sabang to Merauke. Keep moving forward. Indonesia and the UK, together we can do it.
Indonesia dan Inggris bersama kita bisa.
Education is also one of the focuses of relations between Indonesia and the European Union. According to the European Union Ambassador Dennis Chalbi, there will be opportunities for more Indonesian students to go to Europe and vice versa. Ambassadors of the Republic of Iran Mohammad Burjordi, Jamaica Sorma K. Mary Richards, Iceland Stefan Hokur Johannesson, and Ambassador of the Dominican Republic Robert Miki Takata Pimentel also expressed optimism about increasingly strong bilateral relations. Meanwhile, the Ambassador of the Republic of Cyprus, Nicholas Panayotou, explained that the handing over of credentials to President Joko Widodo marked the reopening of the Cypriot Embassy in Indonesia. That was my Indonesia Today.
Cahaya mentari selalu berseri
nanti akhirnya sungguh terjadi bagaikan mimpi. Kulihat aku terpikat pada seorang dewi. Bagaimana caranya ku dapatkan dia? Ku manusia biasa, pantas untuknya. Haruskah ku curi sesuatu darinya? Selendang sutra miliknya, itulah hatinya. Kulihat aku tertika, ku yakin kau ku dapat. Inilah kisah cinta aku dan dia, bagai sebuah legenda bumi dan surga. Ku harap kau mengerti apa artinya. Semua pasti bisa bila kau selalu percaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, most of Indonesian people work as farmers and fishermen. Therefore, it is not surprising that there are various traditions that are closely related to this community's profession. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'm introduce you to Roah Segare tradition, which is always held by the people of Lombok. This tradition is a form of gratitude from the fishing community in Kuranji Dalang village to Allah, the God Almighty, for the abundant marine products. Roah Segara is held every month of Muharram in the Islamic Hijri calendar. When the Roah Segara tradition is held, Labu Api fishing community flocks Kuranji Beach. They continue to carry out this tradition from generation to generation to this day. This tradition also continues to be done because Labu Api fishing community has been kept away from all kinds of disasters. Roah Segara procession begins with the reading of Barzanji, Selakaran, Zikiran, and prayers to Allah. Then continue with praying for the Dulang Penamat, or offerings, which are then brought to the beach. Dulang is then thrown into the sea. The floating process is a symbol of the fishing community's gratitude for the abundant marine products. After that, the community and the guests are served the food they have prayed for earlier. They carry out begibung tradition, or eating together in one large container or tray. This meal together is a form of togetherness and kinship for the fishermen on Kuranji Beach. Listener, in the Roah Segara tradition, there are several traditional provisions that must be done. For example, fishermen are not allowed to go to sea to fish for 3 days after the Roah Segara ritual takes place. This is to give the sea time to recover for a moment, after all this time being taken by fishermen. If it is violated, local people believe fishermen will face disaster. After 3 days, new fishermen can go to sea with new hope and enthusiasm, namely getting an abundant catch. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Semua terlihat. Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Di Danau Singkara. Di Danau Singkara, which means at Lake Singkara. Next, you'll be listening to a conversation entitled Sering Makan. Sering Makan, which means often eat there. This conversation takes place between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sorta Uli, a friend of Chris vlog community at Lake Singkara. Sorta Uli invites Chris to eat fried billy fish at Lake Singkara. Let's listen to their conversation.
Selanjutnya, kita ke Danau Singkara.
Ya, nanti kita makan ikan bili goreng di sekitar Danau Singkara.
Kamu sering makan di situ?
After listening to the conversation, I'll provide vocabulary related to today's conversation material. Sering makan, which means often eat there. I will say the words slowly twice each and you can repeat after me. Kamu, kamu, which means you. Sering, sering, often. Makan, makan, eat. Di situ, there. Kamu sering makan di situ. Kamu sering makan di situ, which means do you often eat there? Selanjutnya, selanjutnya, which means next. Danau Singkara, Lake Singkara. Ikan bilih goreng, fried bilih fish. Di sekitar, around. In that conversation, you heard the phrase, kamu sering makan di situ. Kamu sering makan di situ, which means do you often eat there? In that sentence, there is the adverb sering, sering, which means often. The word marks the frequency of an activity being carried out. In that sentence, the expression sering makan, which means often eat there, is used to express the frequency of eating repeatedly or many times. Other examples. Let's listen to examples of the use of the word sering, sering, which means often, in other sentences. Chris sering berkunjung ke Indonesia. Chris sering berkunjung ke Indonesia, which means Chris often visits Indonesia. Sorta Uli sering menulis pengalamannya di blog. Sorta Uli sering menulis pengalamannya di blog, which means Sorta Uli often writes about her experiences in blogs. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once again.
Selanjutnya, kita ke Danau Singkara.
Ya, nanti kita makan ikan bili goreng di sekitar Danau Singkara.
Kamu sering makan di situ?
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Sering Makan, which means often eat there. Hopefully, this edition is useful for those of you who want to get to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. We will meet again tomorrow with a different material. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
that left the clouds in my eyes won't hold to be forgiven. Can't you see it in my face? The struggle and the grace, some things I cannot hide. We're dodging bullets with this game, but the pleasure and the pain are only there for a while. 'Cause nothing lasts forever.
Indonesia.
For our listener, today's music corner plays a Malay song entitled Tanjung Pinang Tepi Laut by Wa Ade Rizky Dwi Melia. Tanjung Pinang Tepi Laut was made by Robby Agustiar. As the title implies, this song tells the story of Tanjung Pinang, the capital of the Riau Islands province. The lyrics refer to Tanjung Pinang, a seaside city across from Penyengat Island. This song also tells us that not all dreams can be realized. Well, listener, here is the song Tanjung Pinang Tepi Laut by Wa Ade Rizky Dwi Melia. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia.
Anaknya raja bermain layak, putusnya benang ganti belati. Si Danau Toba memancing ikan dekat tepian. Tenang riaknya si Danau Toba memancing ikan dekat tepian.